Blog Talk Radio.
Down the tube, really random stuff with Miss Darko on a team of voices. A team of voices is a radio group located on a poetry group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And we always like to say thank you to Kevin and the team too for keeping the setup and running and giving us a place to read and share our poetry. And I also like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page and giving us a space to share our poetry live. We do have lots of poems here tonight, and we are going to be talking about some really random things. I hope you liked the opening. It was Dean Lewis. And a little bit about Dean Lewis is he is a Danish-Australian singer, songwriter. He is best known for his 2016 single, Waves, which we just listened to, which was created 7 times platinum in Australia in 2019, and his 2018 single, Be Right, which reached number one in the Australian, which reached number one in Australia and was certified platinum within 4 weeks of the release, actually reaching 11 times platinum in Australia and multi-platinum worldwide, including double platinum in the United States. So I hope you enjoyed a little bit of information about him. And I'm going to start to say hello to some of the people. I'm putting some Featherfish gifts, Featherfish, Feather Stars up on the board. You guys can check them out if you're part of the group. But I would like to say hello to Stephen and Kay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Good, good. Did you have a nice day?
I've been in bed most of the day.
And I did inventory,
yeah.
So no, I didn't have a nice day.
Oh, I had like a speech pathology class and then a sign language class, so my hands are pretty much done today. yeah. And we do have one more person here. Hello, my sweet.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I wanted to write about the bones, and then I wanted to write about the fish, but I couldn't resist the earth. I'm sorry.
You could have mixed all food and brought me something really funky, you know? Always.
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
That's always an option. Mix and then mingle. But I'm sure the earth one was really, I mean, it's they're all very interesting. The earth one is too, for sure. Look at this cool background Deb's got on here. I just noticed that a little bit ago. But I think we're going to hold right into it. So let me just check this. And thank you, Kay, because no, I didn't check anything yet because I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I got out of work at 3. I went and taught someone some math and some cursive for like 2 hours, and then I came home and took a nap. So I just really woke up not too long ago.
Yes.
So thank you for that message, Kay. But we're going to put you up right now because I do know Kay's got a skedaddle. And here we go. And I'm in the wrong room. Okay, here we go. Look at that. I love that. It's so funny. Oh,
you're in the wrong room.
I was reading things. I didn't even see Superman. I was reading stuff on the bottom of my screen. All right. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, I put this on an old rig. It's a fast brevity, but yeah, as I said, the Feather Star, that one intrigued me when I saw that, so I call it Sea Lily's Plentitude. Youth of brine, sitting in the chambers, trace and tickle, rich in amethyst wine colored red, feathery fringes and sways of 5, branching hundreds, rock bottom, shallows waters, harbor saffron lemon to blonde through veins of coils. Gold, cinnabars, and grass and legs regenerate into corals. Brittle star knot, billows void of poison, mystifying, and poem.
Love this. I love those things. They're just really, really intriguing to me. I just love looking at them. I love how you named it the sea lily plenitude. I just absolutely brilliant. And then, of course, tracing trickle rich in amethyst wine. And how you bring into the colors red, and of course the feathery fringes, a beautiful alliteration here, but also beautiful descriptions with the swaying of five branching hundreds, and because that's what it really, they just, oh my goodness, they're just really just awesome looking, and I think you really captured this in very very few words, but I really love the color that you bring in, Harvard saffron lemon blonde through the veins of coils. I'm going to steal every word. I'm really sorry. And I love how you bring in how they regenerate their legs. And this is such a really cool thing because they can regenerate, much like I brought in something else. I think it might have been, I forget what it was now. I brought something earlier in the earlier. Oh, do you remember what it is, Stephen?
Starfish. Zombie starfish.
No, that's it. Was it the zombie starfish? Yeah, I thought it was, but I couldn't remember if because I was looking at some other things. But yeah, it was a zombie. That's what it was, a zombie starfish. They can regenerate. So I love how you put that fact in there too. And of course, the cinnabars. And I'll stop. And I know that there's not much left, but there's plenty of stuff to talk about, but not many lines left. I apologize. I got taken away. Really, really well done. I really enjoyed this brevity. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Stephen, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I thought that this was awesome. I could tell that you did some homework on this, hon. It's very, they are very beautiful and graceful, but they don't hold a candle to your words.
You're sweet. Thank you. And sweet. Sweet.
I heard the dogs go off. She might be taking care of the pooches.
Sweet.
You're right, Stephen. The dogs are going off. Sorry. let me get back to the poem real quick. As I'm puffing and puffing, I apologize. I heard you read it, but I have to have lines in front of me. Because that's who I am. I love all the pictures. But then, of course, all right. First, God, I love your language. Tracing tickle rich in amethyst wine. What a great line that is. And I love feathers and fringes and sways. I heard you read it, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go back. Cinnabars and grasping legs regenerating through corals. And I know Sky and I are just rereading your poem, but it's because the lines are just so intense, the colors, the movement. You know, it's almost like you can feel them kind of like brushing across you. You know, I must admit, if I was in the water and any of those things happened, I'd be out of the water in a heartbeat. But billows void of poison, you know, because if anything like grasping legs or feathery fringes sway were touching my feet in any moment of time, I'm out of the ocean in a heartbeat. But I just found it like so intriguing and so beautiful. And, you know, you just have that feeling of like it being soft in a presence of bubbliness. But I got, you know, but then again, any of that in the ocean would scare the hell out of me and I'm out. But I thought you made it sound perfectly beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, sweet. Excellent comment. And thank you so much, Kay. And thank you for stopping by and reading for me and dropping a poem. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my friends. Stephen and sweet, how much time are you guys looking at?
Not much here because Kay wants to get some rest, so I want to quiet things down for her.
Okay. Can I talk a little bit about the little fish, or would you like me just to drop yours? Which is, and don't feel bad either way.
No, you could, Kay said you could talk about the fish.
Well, actually, I'll save the fish. And since you and Sweet both, I'll go back to the fish. It's okay, because I think someone else wrote about that too. And you and Sweet both wrote about the earth stopping. So instead I'll talk a little bit about that instead of the fish. And then I'll drop Stephen, and then I'll drop Kay. I mean, Sweet. So let's go here. So what did you guys think about the earth stopping? Don't want that to happen.
Sounds like a great disaster movie.
Yes.
There probably might be. There could be a movie into it. So just for our viewers, the prompt that we're about to hear next, listeners, is what if the Earth stopped for 5 seconds? So a little thing in the video that were touched upon was that if the Earth stopped, the atmosphere would still keep going. And so there would be winds that you have never seen before. It would actually break up the Earth's crust. They would be just horrendous, horrendous winds. And then another thing that would happen is that the winds also, a little bit of the information in the video, was the winds were most prevalent around the equator, and because that's where the Earth is moving the fastest. So that would be, you'd be maybe a little okay at the poles, of course, until this next thing happens, where if the Earth stops, the Earth isn't a perfect sphere because of the rotation force that it's spinning in. So if it stops, it would transform into a perfect sphere. So all that extra water that's gathered around the equator would then disperse to the poles, and there would be a massive tsunami, and that would just create at the end of the poles. And then when it started going again, the massive tsunami would come back to place. So there would actually be two, and pretty much just wipe out everything. So there was death and doom and destruction, of course, if the Earth just stopped for that 5 seconds alone. So that was the prompt. I hope you guys liked it. And before you read, if you want to add anything, or if you want to talk about why you picked the poem, or anything you want after or before is perfectly okay. And Stephen, you have the floor.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think that if just before the Earth stopped rotating, a feather star touched Sweet Pea on the foot in the ocean, that she might be able to outrun the winds as she ran out of the ocean. So she would probably be able to.
Oh, yes.
This is an oldie. I did brush it up a little bit with some more imagery after watching the video about the Earth stopping. So I did add some stuff to it that wasn't in this before, but it's still basically giving the same message. And I call this Narsageddon. And it goes like this. I wonder what would happen if the two biggest narcissists in the world actually physically touched. Armageddon. Plain and simple. Instantaneous Armageddon. The Earth would stop on its axis, trees laid flat, oceans overflowing, walls of water back and forth, buildings crumble, and winds that rip skin from bone, all in that instant of touch when crooked fingertips meet and atomic wave packages are overlapped. The worst part is, I think I know both, so it's up to me to keep them separated. Narsageddon.
Oh my goodness, I remember this one. This will be an honest and truthful disclaimer. I read a lot of poetry, and it's impossible for me to remember every single one. But when I saw this title, and I remembered the conversation, which triggered remembering the poem, and I was like, oh, I remember this one. I love that you brought it, because I do think it fits perfectly. I still love the idea of Narsageddon. I think it is so brilliant and so creative. And we all do know somebody who's a little bit of a narcissist. It seems like you've got it at its worst. I don't think I know anybody that bad. that if these two people, the world would actually, you know, implode, which I think was great how you used that metaphor into the situation. My favorite part was the plain and simple part. I just really love that part. You're like, the earth would stop on its axis, trees would lay flat, oceans overflowing, falls back and forth. Buildings would crumble, and this is in the winds would rip the skin from bone. I love that part. It sounds tragic and horrifying, and then you switch to like, I think I know these two people, and so it just really it brings it down to earth too, and it makes you kind of self reflect also to say, okay, let's not be a narcissist because narcissism might happen. Oh, my goodness. This is really, really wonderful. It has a sense of humor, a little bit of obviously tongue-in-cheek, and really enjoyed the metaphor, and that stanza was just quite brilliant in the description. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you, Sky.
And if Sweet Pea?
Yes? Hold on, I'm dying. I'm in a boat of a narcissism.
I think it's Sweet Pea. I think it's just Sweet Pea. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I'm in the boat of narcissism. Stephen just killed me. But I didn't know you felt that way about me, but I'm sorry. But hey, me and AP, we're good friends. We'll do okay. Anyway. I really like this, actually. I think it's pretty good. I love the way you think on things. Like, the earth is going to die, but, you know, we're going to kill all 37 billion of you, but the two of you really deserve it. I like how you put that in there. Narcissism. And it's true. Two people are going to kill the whole world. Two people with buttons. And we voted them in. I like how this is done. Instantaneous Armageddon. Your whole thought process sometimes boggles my mind, but I really do enjoy it. All the instants of a touch when crooked fingertips meet on atomic wave packages are overlapped. The worst part is I think I know both of them, so it's up to me to keep them separated. Like I said, my first thought was, this is amazing. I love it because of its truth. And I still feel that way because it really, all of us in this world that are kind and generous and really believe in peace are at the hands and at the mercy of idiots sometimes, like these two morons that are thrown. And God forbid they have a bad day or one of them has gas and we're all like, what the hell happened? I loved you. Goodbye. And it's just so true. I can't sometimes wrap my mind around it. And it's just really true. And that's why I really enjoy this. And I don't know why it's not on my favorite Steve list. And that's where it's going to go now. My Steve from Ohio list.
Thank you.
An excellent piece. You're welcome.
Awesome.
I tell you what.
Awesome comment.
You want me to tell you where I got the idea?
Yeah.
Well, it actually came from a movie with Val Kilmer called Top Secret. And there's a scene where the Germans are chasing them, and they kind of lose the Germans, and the Germans kind of go off-road, and they're heading right towards a Ford Pinto, and they start screaming and hitting the brakes, and they slow down just enough to where the bumpers go, dink, and then bang.
Oh my goodness. Well, Stephen, I do want to thank you, and I don't want you to, I know that you're going to get, I understand Tuesday's normally your night off to enjoy your time together, so I do appreciate you both calling. But if you could plug before you go, I would greatly appreciate it.
Oh, sure. And I was going to hang for Sweet Peas before I went too, but yeah. See, the Poetic Slice of Life, our next show is Wednesday night, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's the Poetic Inkling, and because it's March and we're going to continue with the Irish theme, we're looking at the artist from Ireland, Louis Le Braquet. We have a dozen paintings from him to look at and write to. They're kind of dark. They're kind of abstract. They're pretty neat, I think. Check them out. And, of course, Thursday is the surprise birthday party for Sky. Surprise!
Surprise!
And Kay found a lot of really cool prompts to write to for Sky, all having to do with things that we've talked about in the past. There's also some good Sky's prompts to look at, and that's 8 p.m. Thursday. Check it out, especially that Winnie the Pooh one. You really got to check that one out. It's really cool. And then Friday is something different with a request. That's 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's Irish sayings, old Irish sayings. I have 15 sayings in there and short little examples of how they're used for each one to inspire your pen. That's all I got.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you for calling. Okay. Sweet. You wrote about the Earth imploding as well. So you are, I already did it. So you're all set. So go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to talk about my shows for the next few weeks. There ain't any. There you go. Mine is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Cotton candy clouds fell from rotten peach-colored skies, shattering in mid-air fireworks shows. Dry oceans boiled, serving clams, steamed lobster, to charred fishes on open volcanic lava-grilled rocks. Fur pulled from skin and skeletons deformed, and the screams of animals in pain echoed into the universe. Ancient trees burned as amber and ice tumbled in ribbons of blue and red destruction. Mountain views reversed to graveside valley of the bones. Icicle winds scattered space dust, fertilizing the next wave of life. The world stopped and all life ended in microseconds as humans gurgled their last words, choking on their arrogance. And poems.
That last part. Oh, gargling on their last words because they're being drowned. You know, I think there is an arrogance mankind, like, you know, the kind of arrogance that springs from entitlement, like, this is the world, this is it, we're in it, and it's just going to keep spinning, you know, and one day, very long from now, it will stop, but there, you know, and then in the video, as it said, before it stops, you know, the sun will, before you, if that even happens, the sun will turn into a red giant, but, you know, the idea that everything is going to be as perfect running as it has always be, we kind of take those things for granted, and the idea, like, how many of you, or even me, because I don't do this, so how many of us, and let me put you in there, so how many of us stop during our day and say, huh, I'm glad the earth is spinning. You know, there isn't much of an appreciation enough until you think about it, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I'm quite glad that it's spinning because, you know, we'd all be dead. So I love the way that you put this, the candy cotton clouds, the alliterations with the sea, the you know, epic type of apocalyptic scenarios you've got going in here. Dry oceans boiled and serving clam steamed lobster. That does make me a little hungry, I'm not going to lie. and then, of course, you go into the charred fishes and the lava and the grilled rocks. And then I'm like, yeah, I just lost my appetite now. It's like you send me on waves of emotion, you know. So the opening song, it comes and goes in waves. I feel like this is very befitting to your poem because one minute I'm like, ooh, this sounds good. And the next minute I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. And then, of course, I mean, everything. The ancient, this kind of makes me sad. So, like, right here, the ancient trees buried in ambers and ice tumbled, you know, that makes me quite sad. So I feel like I'm in a wheelhouse of emotion reading this. And there's only, like, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines. Really, really well done. I also really loved the images of the scattering ice and dust, because you're speaking, obviously, of extreme temperatures, you know, fluctuating. Quite brilliant. Wonderful to the prompt. I'm realizing at this point I should have asked Stephen first because I tend to ramble. Thank you so much. And Stephen, without further ado, What do you think?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head was actually a line from Star Wars. After the poem was read, quoting Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was as if millions of voices cried out and were suddenly silenced. I think the descriptions in this are absolutely disgustingly dark, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Narsageddon. Looks about right.
And strikes again. Okay, well, thank you so much, Stephen. I know you do have to go, and
Steve.
I do the let somebody
I really
on.
appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you so much. Oh yeah, I'm already having a good show. But before you go, this one does look a little creepy. The other ones look really pretty. This one looks like some kind of spider coming at me. I don't know. So if you have a chance, look on the board. I don't know about this one. good night, guys.
Good night.
Yeah.
Night,
that one looks like a little. That one looks like a little tarantula. I don't know. That's what I'm seeing.
Oh God, no, that one's not cute at all. Mm-mm, no, mm-mm, don't like that one at all.
No.
Yeah, no.
All right, night, guys. All right, let me. Hello, Allie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Did you want to make a comment on Sweet Poem?
I thought it was very, as you said, very emotional, and it kind of picked up on a side of it that I wasn't thinking about when I was writing mine earlier. And
well, thank goodness.
I think Stephen said it was dark in such a good way that it almost didn't seem dark to me.
Thank you.
Excellent comment. And Sweet, I didn't even ask you, but how long are you with me?
Well, as long as I can be. My dinner's on its way.
Okay. What are we having for dinner?
Barbecue. I'm having brisket.
That sounds really good right now.
I live in the West, so we have brisket.
All right. Oh, that sounds good. Make sure you give me some. I take delivery.
Well, you guys have really good seafood, but I have really good brisket.
I don't know if I've had brisket, to be honest with you. I don't.
I've had brisket, and it is delicious.
Yes, it is.
All right. It seems like this world-stopping one was pretty popular, even though I've just been doing nothing but putting down. I need to go find see, the problem is there's not many gifts of the barrelfish because there's not many pictures, but there's lots of pictures of these little feathery stars. So I'm just going to have to just keep on dropping these little feather stars. But the world-stopping one seems to be quite popular. So that is what Allie wrote to as well. And you're all set to read whenever you're ready.
Okay. If the earth stopped spinning, what would happen? Would everything stay still? Would one part of earth always be night while one stays day? How can one function when it's always day out? If the earth stopped spinning, would animals still be alive? Would you? If the earth stopped spinning, how would you react? I wouldn't like it if the earth stopped spinning. To me, nature calms me. Nature is beautiful. I wouldn't like it if earth stopped spinning. Earth contains precious and yummy foods, such as milk. If the earth stopped spinning, we wouldn't have cows. No cows, no milk. I leave the reader with one question. What does earth mean to you? The end.
Excellent piece. I love that you put it in question form, like what would happen? And I like that for two reasons. One, because the video was called a what if video. And I am at this point going to give a little shout out to the video. They do this, actually I have to look in it, so I will give them a shout out after. But it's a really cool series on YouTube. It's called If you know, the what if these things happened. And I will get you the name because it is a really cool series to look at. But I like it so that, because the video was called What If the World Stopped Spinning? So I like that you put it into a question form rather than saying what would happen. You're actually going into what would happen. Would everything stay still? Would the part of the Earth, I love this part too because this is factual. If the Earth stopped and one side faced the sun and one faced away and it didn't spin, one side would always be light and one side would always be day. Of course, you put it into a form question so the reader has to kind of come up with these answers themselves and kind of go through logic. Oh, well, it would be. So I like how you don't kind of like tell the answers. You make the reader find the answers. I also like how, you know, would the animals be alive with you? And then you go into the things that are that you enjoy most, you know, these nature, the beautifulness of nature. And if the Earth stops spinning, we've already found out from the video that pretty much the crust of the Earth would start tearing itself apart. Things would just, you know, there would be basically be nothing left and nature would be destroyed. So I like how you put in that appreciation and tell the reader how it connects to you by saying it calms me. So not only are you appreciating nature, but you're also connecting it on a personal level, saying, yes, it calms me. And then, of course, the bit about the milk, I thought was a really great additive, too, for detail purposes. And at the end, to turn it back to the reader again. What does it mean to you? So the reader then has to think about it. Oh, what does it mean to me? And then it reminds us to be all very appreciative for those little things that happen every day that we don't really pay attention, really think about it every day, but we should appreciate it. Really, really well done. I do appreciate you writing for the show. I think you're a first-time caller on this show for me, so I thank you again. And
I think I am.
Sweet, what do you think? Yeah.
Great. No,
shows, I always do really random. I do them once a month. You're always invited. Next month's already up. There's always three prompts, and they're pretty random, but they, as Sweet Pea would like to say, would you like to say the disclaimer, Sweet Pea?
This is Sky's home study program.
He always says that you always have to do homework with these, which is kind of true, but I give you short videos.
You do.
So it's not... yeah, I do. It's a little
She's
bit.
Not joking.
Really
you have to do homework.
But
it's not
now,
a joke.
I'm
serious.
When you're having conversations
Don't.
With random people, you will know such a diverse, you know, a fact. Like, you can be like, hey, did you know this would happen if the world stopped spinning? Like, that's going to come up in a conversation someday, I'm telling you. And then the feather stars, that's going to come up in a conversation, too. You'll wait. It'll be helpful. What did you think about Allie's poem?
I like Allie's poem. I like how she connects with things. I like how she does that. I think Allie's very unique on the things that she does, the way she writes, the way she always ends her poems with questions. I always have like that. Her and I have talked about, you know, how she does it. I love your descriptions of things. I think you did really great with your imagery in this poem. I mean, Sky kind of filled everything in there, so she did really well.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. She does that a lot. She's really good at it. That's why we like her. But, no, you did a really good job. I really liked it.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Oh, Sky, I meant to ask you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Your next show is next month on the 12th.
So
does that mean Deb's show is moved to Tuesday then?
No.
No, that means mine says 4/11.
Which is a Monday.
Oh. Wait a minute.
She is right. Maybe before 12 girls.
You're my hero.
Put on I was sitting there and I was like, wait, there's no show for Deb.
No, I can't do that. Okay,
okay.
That's right. It's all fixed. I fixed it right now. That's good.
Okay, thank you.
I love it. Thank you.
You got school. Kids got school.
I got schooled. Well, I never claimed to be good with numbers. I've actually said it repeatedly.
This is true. I would agree with this.
I mean, it wouldn't bother me. I just, like, I follow such, like, a routine that, like, I looked and I was like, wait, where'd that show go?
I would rather someone point that out than have everybody look at it and be super confused. Same thing with my poetry. If I know something, if I do that, I want someone to tell me. I don't want 40 people to look at it and then say, you know, Skye, you spelled boat wrong. You know, I want to know.
Okay.
I want to know what. Definitely.
Because I was looking at it for a few days in a row, and I was like, wait, that's not right. And then today I was like, when I call in Skye Show, I have to ask her.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
okay.
Speaking of next time, I do like to give a little bit. I haven't gone over. I'll give it a little bit later. I usually give a little shout out to what I'm going to do, but we haven't gone through all this stuff today, so I'm going to give that information out later. But Allie, you are welcome to stay. And if you have to go, let me know, and I will say thank you and good night.
Is it okay if I go now, or do you guys want me to hang around?
Oh, no, glad. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
Okay.
You go.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. Thank you for calling, Allie.
You're welcome. I'll wait for the next show now that I have time to actually write for it, and it's not going to overlap with any of the other shows.
Yeah, I put it up a month early, which I used to do. I missed it doing it last month and the month before, but it's up there now. So I usually try to, because it requires, as Sweet Pea says, homework, I try to get it out early.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too. All righty, right. All right.
I put up barrel fish with or without in and out of the water for you.
Oh, you did. Oh, thank you. That's out
That's
of the
good
water?
I think so.
That's really
yeah.
out
That's
of the
That's what it
water?
Says. I think so.
Oh,
that's what the picture said. I don't know.
I don't know if that's out of the water.
Okay, well, I'm just following the dumb picture.
That's right. I hope not.
Doesn't
I
look like it's
out
of the water, does it?
Yeah, but you know what, though? I love that you put it
them.
On the board.
It's a fish.
They eat them?
How's that? Yeah, they
I
eat
know,
them.
I know, but oh, it is a fish. Oh, whatever that is, yeah. You know, it's supposed to be hard, really hard to catch even a glimpse of. That's why there's not many pictures. I'm going to backtrack just a little because I knew Kay had to leave, and I didn't talk about the where am I?
This looks more like it. It's out of the water. Hold on.
Let me see. Let me go. Let me see where you are. 18 tabs open. No.
Maybe this is one out of the water. Oh. This looks more like the fish. I think this might be the better fish.
All right.
I think this might be the fish we're looking
that.
For. Yeah.
This is not the fish.
But they do eat them. Yeah, that was
they
not
do.
The fish. This is the fish.
They shouldn't eat them. And they shouldn't.
They do. they.
All right.
I would have.
Well, before we talk about the fish, because Deb wrote about the fish. So, like, before we talk about the fish, I know you're excited about the fish. Let's talk about the feather stars. I know that you don't want to, but they are really cool. And that was what Kay
wrote about.
You just
said you didn't have good colors for these fish, so. That looks more like the fish, doesn't it?
Deb wrote about the fish, so, and then Hatter wrote about the world stopped spinning. So, Kay was my only my feather stars. So I just want to say a little information about it. So feather stars are really in the same class of as starfish, brittle stars, sea urchins, and sea cucumbers. So much like those, much like the starfish, as Steve and I were talking about, they do regenerate their limbs, which I love. I love that idea. So they are part of the crinoid family. So these things are really, really cool. They are characterized by having the mouth located on the upper surface. This is surrounded by feeling arms. And if you are part of the group, I've been dropping like gifts to a U-shaped gut with the back end being located on the oral disc near the mouth. Although the basic pattern of the fivefold symmetry can be recognized, in most crinoids, the five arms are subdivided into 10 or more. So these have a feather, they're like really feathery, feathery little things, little arms coming out. It's really cool. If you don't know what they look like, check them out. Some of them are kind of creepy. Some of them did kind of look like little tarantulas, but most of them are really, I mean, you know, tarantulas are beautiful still in their own way, but most of them are very flowery, I would say. What do you think, Sweet Pea? Are you still running?
No, I'm here. I think some of them are really pretty.
Are you still running from them, or what?
No, I think they're beautiful, but, I mean, can you imagine being in the water and they brush against you because they move? They're living creatures. And I've been in the ocean. I love the ocean. I'm a big fan of the ocean, but I had them brush. They like brush across you, and it just is very freaky. I don't like to be in the ocean. I don't like to be in water where things brush against me. It's ugh. Like ugh. Have you ever been in the water and a fish comes up against you?
Yes, we have this. Lake. We have a lot of lakes where I live, I'm sure, as you know. And we have this one that you could go in, and there's tons of fish right where the swimming area, because a lot of places that have lakes, they'll like net off a section where people go swimming, but this place doesn't. And the kids love it. First, they were really wary because they were like, but then I gave them some goggles, and they actually really love going now because the fish come right close to them. And they can almost just catch them in their hand. It's really kind of crazy. But I will say, when you feel it kind of brush by you and you're really not expecting it, it can be, it's alarming. It is. So I guess if something with feathery arms in that pattern of that walking that it does, I would be a little scared.
Right.
Well, I do agree with you. Huh?
It's scary. It's awful, but yeah.
I always have to bring something to frighten you, my queen of darkness. But you know what? There are no there's no S words this time.
I know, good. But that's why they would give me money, because that's how they would feel.
Like slithery snakes?
Yeah.
I've got a poem from Sheila. Would you like to read, or would you like me to read?
Whatever you want. I'm a reader. I'm a midnight toker. I'm a joker. Whatever you need me to be.
You're a Tom Pettier. All right. This is. I'll let you read it because I just like to listen to you read. I think this is to the Earth Stop Spinning. She kind of brought me a solar system poem, which is totally cool also. And you're all set to read it whenever you're ready.
All right. All right. To the board I go. Kyla. Our naughty planets. I kill ya. The whole universe is routinely going round and round. Our Pluto thinking, why am I going round and round with these guys? Especially remove me from the bunch.
I can do what I like. It decides to go zigzag. And after that, all the planets thought, if Pluto can do that, then why can't we? Saturn, such a huge planet. I need to clean my space. Look at the mess. All these debris just piling up as though they don't have any other planets. They don't have any other planets to go. All following me, it started to wobble up and down. Jupiter, the biggest planet watching everything, Pluto and Saturn, it needed to go somewhere. So it did. Venus already very close to the sun, getting hotter and hotter. Let me hide behind Jupiter. It would be so nice and cold. Poor Mercury was way ahead, everyone not knowing what other planets doing. Our Earth, too, was watching patiently. Thought, where's it going? Where's Venus going? By the time, for a second, it turned, whole Earth spinning, stopped. Everything stood still with its red head, was going round and round. Suddenly saw Earth stopped. Oh, my God. Mars all of a sudden changed its path and took Venus's place. Could not bear the heat. Venus was enjoying the most. Saturn was moving to and fro behind. It was Neptune, so cool looking. Venus fell in love with Neptune. Our Earth stopped for the first time. We saw northern and southern hemispheres all in one. One, it was looking so ritual and beautiful, but finally all the planets were back in order. And what a lovely story.
I know, she did put the world stop spinning. I didn't actually realize that. Obviously, I didn't pre-read. This is fun. I'll let you comment first, unless you don't want to, but I usually let, if you read it, I let
no,
you comment
No, you're
first,
the host.
But,
you go ahead.
Oh, no, I always let the reader call. If they read, they comment first.
Okay.
If you feel comfortable.
I'm good with it. I thought it was really cute. I like how they were like, hey, what are you doing? No, I'm going to do that. Hey, what? Wait. Hey, I'm going to do that. I like how Saturn wibble wobbled and she had them all doing kind of different things and going behind the sun and hey, I got to cool off. Hey, I've been too cold. And I like how Pluto kind of had an attitude because we told him he wasn't a planet. And he's like, oh, yeah, I am. And so I kind of liked all of that. And, you know, we all got to step out of our routine once in a while and kind of jazz it up and have a little fun. And I really like the animation. I think she did a really great job. And, you know, it wasn't some, you know, like, oh, everything's going to go crazy because I kind of went to the dark side and she kind of went totally opposite and happy and, you know, it all isn't gloom and doom and, hey, let's just have a party and shake it up, you know. They all went and danced around a little and just sucked out the blues. But, you know, we all have our days off, but then we all got to go back to work. And I really liked the way she did it. It was a great job to you.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you, Sweetie, for such an excellent comment and an excellent read, by the way. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, one of the things I always try to emphasize, because I realize some people don't want to write a scientific poem or, you know, that's just not, they don't want to write informational text, which is fine. So I try to really emphasize you could write a fictional piece with this just as a stemming idea. And I'm so glad that that's where Tila went, because I wasn't expecting it. I'm like, oh, it's a poem about the solar system. Okay. But then when she started reading, I realized what she did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely brilliant. I mean, how she brought in this fictional story, and it is so lovely. And above all, something that I love when I'm reading it is creative. It is so creative how she brings in all the planets, how they're doing a little, like you said, they're doing a little jig. They're getting out of space. And now I can see why she called it Naughty Planets, because they're all kind of being naughty. They're all running around doing stuff they're not supposed to do. What's going on? And you know, it's stopping. The Earth is stopping to see what the heck is going on with all you people. Like, what is going on? This is just really, really creative and really makes me smile, because I love stories. And I love unique stories and stories that I could see in a storybook. And this is definitely one of them. Like, if I was going to give my kid a little, you know, a book about the planets, this would definitely be one that I would pick up. because it's fun, but it also teaches you all the names of the planets. Of course, they're not really going to be doing all these things, but you're still learning while the engaging and having fun in fantasy. So this would be one that I would definitely pick up at a bookstore. So I really do love the direction that you took. Really, really well done, Celia. I greatly appreciate you bringing this and the fun you had. I would imagine writing it because we had a lot of fun reading it. And I do have two more callers. Let me see if they heard it. Hello, Deb.
Hello, Sky.
I took a nap before the show, so you got to excuse me. I'm trying to get my energy back.
I thought maybe
How
you would tap into the coffee.
No. This is like a fake hyper. This is like overtired. I did take a nap, so I got a little rest. How are you tonight?
I'm all right. I didn't get a nap,
did
though.
Well, I had a long day. I had a sign language class, and then I had a speech pathology class, and then I left work and then taught a child for 2 hours who stayed home for the whole week. And then I went home and took a nap. So it was well-deserved. Did you get to hear Tila's poem?
I did not.
It's okay, Jim. Okay, just want to ask. I want to thank you before I move on and let somebody else on. Thank you, Tila, once again for bringing the poem. And we do have Hatter.
Hey,
hello,
sorry. Hi, Hatter.
Hello.
I'm following Deborah.
Following Deb down the tube, are ya?
Wherever she goes, Big Brother follows her.
That's good. All right, so we have gone over the Earth stops spinning. We have gone over, which I know that Hatter, you wrote about it, but so you can still bring that. But we talked a little bit about it, and we talked a little bit about the We talked a little bit about the Feather Star. I've been dropping tons of gifts. I'm getting really excited about this Feather Star. And Deb, I'm really glad that you wrote about this fish because I like to talk about all three prompts. And you usually bring in a lot of information, so I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let you go and do your thing. And then if I want to say anything, I will. So, like always,
okay, cool.
you could talk about what you wrote, or you make a comment on another poem, or do whatever you want. So you've got the floor.
Well, I'm in an ornery mood, so I just want to remind people that normally when I write something, I write for me, and I write for my host or hostess. And tonight, both of the poems I wrote are loaded with photos and gifts because that's what my hostess, Sky Darkholm, likes. So sending me messages about how it's not really the objective of writing poetry is kind of rude in my book. I would not do it to you. Just saying. Anyhow, poem is called You Have Entered the Twilight Zone of the Sea, which I learned today. I did not know that the ocean had a twilight zone. Go figure. Here we go. Down in the ocean twilight zone, stretching around the spinning globe, no sunlight reaches past the blue surface as the goldenrod sun rays strobe. No shining neon glitters of light to show the clearhead cockpit lobe. At night, no opal moonlight penetrates as the sea plays saltwater splash guitars. Neath the frosting white-capped ocean face, in the salted flow without light from the stars. But as my little eyes spy the barrel I fished, they spotted cradling two men from Mars. What planet are they from? It cannot be ours. And poem. And that's awesome. Not as much information as you probably hope, Sky, but I threw this one together second because I know you like having something for each prop.
Well,
so
no,
there's
I
less
really
in
really
this one than there was the other one. Sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't see a lot of rights, anybody, not just you, but anybody doesn't see a lot of rights, if you're inspired by two, you want to write about two, I will let you read two if there's not a lot of poems. So I'm totally okay with that. I really, really love this. Do you want to read your author's notes a little bit? Or no?
Yes, some of them.
What's
that? Well, I had asked the question, do you see green men too? Because it really does look like two little aliens sitting there. Anyway, barrel-eye fish are from the Twilight Zone, and the Twilight Zone contains the largest and least exploited fish stock in the world. The layer of water that stretches around the globe lies 200 to 1,000 meters or 650 to 3,000 feet below the ocean surface, just beyond the reach of sunlight. And then the animals live in the different layers of the earth, or I'm sorry, of the ocean, and the barrel is down there in the twilight with some other real fun ones. And there's some explanations as to why it's called the Twilight Zone, and then the name of the three zones, which I'm not going to butcher, but the Dysopic is the Twilight Zone where the barrel fish lives. So it's just a little bit of nerdy science information added in. To tickle Sky, my hostess, is fancy.
I love nerds. They're my favorite people. this was just absolutely brilliant. First of all, the fact that these creatures are rarely captured, we don't have many pictures of them. I was trying to look for gifts, and I couldn't find them. So you did, apparently, and I really appreciate that because I was looking, and I couldn't. Otherwise, I would have been dropping these two on the board because maybe I should have looked harder. But they're really hard to capture because they are so deep, as you say. And so I do love they're so gorgeous. They're just so gorgeous to me. They just look like out-of-space gorgeous creatures. I don't know what it is, but so I love all the little bits of images you have strewn in between. Definitely the gift, because I'm surprised you found them. So thank you for also taking the time to do that. The poem itself, absolutely brilliant. I love that you bring in the facts. Down the Twilight Zone, which is, and you say, teacher's pet.
I know.
I'm getting the fact that I can't read and talk. but down the Twilight Zone, so you bring in these, and let me tell you how hard it is. I think it's hard either way, you know, to take factual information and then write a poem about it. It's not everybody's forte, and I know that, and I think it's cool that you attempt to do that every time. And I wouldn't even say attempt, because you've successfully do it every time, but you take that leap, and that's what I mean by attempt. You take that leap to do it in that way, so that the readers are, if someone coming across this poem never even heard of this thing, they're going to look at this thing and be like, what the heck is going on here? And they're going to learn something, and they're going to be like, oh my God, I know this thing now. But the Twilight Zone stretching around spinning globe, of course, you know, saying that this isn't the Twilight Zone of the Earth. I love the colors that you bring in, the goldenrod neon glitters off the light, because it does. But, like, that is a glittery, beautiful dome they've got there. And then, of course, the moonlight penetrate, and then you even say, where's down there? Oh, right here. Into the slate glow without light from the stars. But as my little eyes spy the barrel eye fish, which I thought was a great interline rhyme. Sweet Pea's going to be really mad at me. I'm doing it again. I'm sorry. I turned into Deb, and Sweet Pea's turned into me yelling at me for stealing all the lines. I don't know what happened. But this is definitely happening tonight. I'll try not to say anymore. There's only like two. But I love how line rhymes. Yeah, I do. I'm going to skip. I'm not going to read the last two lines. But the inner line rhyme in that is brilliant. And I really, really love the author's notes. I can't tell you how much I love the author's notes, because one thing I don't like to do here is I don't like to do go on like long monologues about like information. I think when other people bring information and they filter it through their own way, I think it's a better way to be collaboratively to talk about topics so that I'm not the only one. And so I love when you do that so that you can also share a little bit. And the fact that you've brought in these layers and you talk about how the depth of which they live, I really am intrigued. I've always been intrigued. It is something I've always enjoyed is the ocean. The depth below where there's no light, because there are some really freaky, awesome creatures down there. And so I love that you bring that in, because there's some really cool stuff down there. Really, really well done. I feel like I've been talking for a while, so I'll hand over the mic to Sweet Pea. And thank you so much, Deb.
Thank you very much, Sky. My poem.
All right.
From Sweet Teacher's Pet.
I really like your poem, Deb.
Thank you, my sweet. Really liked your comment.
Oh, no, it was perfect. I mean, I'm sorry, Amadeus has been one of those people today. I like, no sunlight reaches past the blue surface as goldenrod sun rays strobe. Flow without light from stars. Not even a starfish can get down there. And of course, you have the perfect rhyme and flow and everything. And these things freak me out because they kind of look like, especially the one at the end that goes biting. But they kind of look like old people to me, like sad little old faces on them. I don't know what it is, but they kind of like got. I don't know, like sad little cartoon old men faces or something. I'm not sure. They have like human characteristics to me, and it kind of freaks me out looking at them. We've got all these pictures of them.
Yeah, they are really freaky. And you know, I could have swore I put a line in to point to that, but I didn't. Those two things that look like eyes in the front are not. Those puffed green things in the clear spot,
yeah,
that can move around and see above them and sideways and whatnot, those green puppy orbs are the actual eyes. And that's how, if you look at the one,
yep,
where he's eating, the eyes will, yeah, come from looking overhead forward to see him and then grab that food, because their gills,
yeah,
are on
the
side and their eyes are at the top. So really,
mm-hmm,
really freaky. And I didn't realize how huge they were. I mean, wow, there could be little green men in there. Just saying.
I mean,
don't they have,
sweet,
they have like human
a,
type
a,
faces.
Picture on the board. Huh?
They look like little human faces, though.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's just like sort of fake. It's fake eyes and whatnot, because those green things are the eyeballs.
Yeah.
The figure.
Yeah.
This is my favorite one, when the eyeballs go up from the top to the side, because it is really,
yeah,
tricky.
It's freaky.
But it's just really cool.
And,
yeah.
And, Sky, just something to put on your list if you get a chance. While I was trying to find some good gifts, I stumbled across something called a cockatoo squid. Had never heard of them, but they're really cool. So check them out. They fall in your genre.
Oh, right in the middle. Oh, wait,
sure.
You know, I love suggestions. I took a suggestion from Rack. I was like, I need to find a tree, and I love many trees, so I was like, I don't know what tree, and then he's like, do the banyan tree, and I'm like, okay. So I take suggestions. Huh?
Cool.
Ed.
Ed. Hatter, what do you think?
Can you hear me okay? Hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you, Hatter.
Hello? Okay,
hello?
Okay.
Can you hear us?
No, that one picture does freak me out. Because it gives it away. It's a type of fish that they're called skywalkers or skylighters, where they're like the anchor fish and the angler fish. They stare straight up. because those green globs, they zoom in on that, target in on that shrimp. But, yeah, it's got one of the most human faces I've ever seen in the animal world.
That was breaking up a little, but thank you, Hatter. Hatter.
Thank you. Thank you, Hatter. And so a little break.
Is that better? Hear me better?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah.
Oh, I have the hiccup.
Okay.
Thank you, Deb. I love that you found gifts of this because I really wanted this. As soon as I stole it and I put it on the board, as soon as I could, I'm like, you found them. And then Sweet, of course, found the pictures. Look at that thing. It's huge. So I appreciate you and Sweet helping me to put some stuff on the board. And I love the background, by the way. I thought it was brilliant. I was thinking, Deb, I don't know how you are on time. So
I see
if
the
you
board
need to read the arm. Okay, all right, that works. Okay. Hatter wrote about the Earth stops spinning.
Yeah, got away from
Are me. You ready, Hatter? Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Get you while
yes,
you're
I
awake.
Am.
Let's see.
Yes.
Okay.
<Yes. laughs> I think I just put it up there and refresh. Boom. Yeah, I've always wanted to write about this, and this almost got away from me. There it is. If the Earth stops spinning, many things would happen. Goes like this. The sounds of stardust rolling away, beginnings of planets turning to gray, rumbles across the falling sky, keeping the stones from climbing too high. Footfalls are silenced without any clues, breathing in time, dying for you. Throwing in circles from past playoff games, feeling the madness from going insane. Watching for rubble blocking the doors, keeping the shadows from crossing the floors. Pulsing in neon, splitting my head, trying to remember what the white rabbit said.
Excellent. So you brought the white rabbit in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let Sweet Pea comment first. Sweet, you comment first.
Oh. Well, first off, I love it. There's so many great lines in here. As always, perfect rhyme cadence. But pulsing in neon, splitting my head, trying to remember what the white rabbit said. You know what would we all think, you know, if the world did? Start to fall apart. We would all think, okay, what did I eat for breakfast? What was in my Cheerios? What was in my drink? You know, this can't be happening. You know, we'd all think we were on the right rabbit. Footfalls are silenced without any clues, breathing in time, dying for you. I love that too. You know, what are our last thoughts? What are you thinking? Are you thinking about the one you love, the one that got away? Or, I mean, who's on your mind? What's going on? You know, things like that. Throwing in circles from past playoff games, stopping the madness from going insane. Hatter, I know that, you know, you played football and that was part of your life and all of that. And that whole, you know, metaphor of that is quite brilliant and just, you know, throwing in circles from past playoff games, just reliving your greatest memories. And would that be what we're thinking? You know, did I live my life for this? Was this the best that it was? Did I do everything right? Did I do everything wrong? What was the greatest news? So I think you just really kind of threw all of this and just that simple little tiny bit of language that you just blow me away with every single time you write. You're just brilliant.
Thank you, please.
I think she likes it. I think she likes it.
I do
excellent comment. Thank you.
She even rhymed a little bit in her comment. This is wonderful. I can't agree with Sweet more. The sounds of the stardust rolling away, beginnings of planets turning to gray, bringing in that destruction. And then, of course, the rubble across the falling sky, keeping the stones from climbing too high. I really loved that because it talked about those gusts of winds in the video, and that's what I was kind of picturing when you were saying the rubble. And I didn't know the football thing, so I'm really glad that CC went first because now I can put in perspective that idea of your life, bits of your life flashing before your eyes, because the football kind of plays, puts that into a little bit more perspective for me with you playing football. So I am glad that I asked Sweet to comment first because that's pretty cool. And then, of course, I love that you brought in the white rabbit. Like, what kind of wonderland or nightmare land have I wandered into that all this stuff is happening? Quite brilliant. Wonderfully done. Yeah. Thank you so much, Hatter, for writing.
Thank you. It was fun.
And
it almost got away from me. Got away from me.
It almost got away from you.
Me too, when I wrote.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome brevity, Hatter. You know, it's funny because when I got to the third couplet, I automatically saw football. Footballs are silenced with any clue. And I'm like, wait, wait. And I look back, footballs are silenced without any clues, breathing in time, dying for you. And then I get to the next one, throwing in circles from past playoff games, stopping the madness from going insane. So then at that point, I revert back to the third stanza because I thought, wait a minute, it did say footballs. And then I'm like, wait, no, it doesn't. But I don't care if it says footballs or footballs. It's still packed with tons of information in like six little couplets, and of course your trademark rhyme and flow and cadence is always perfect, pulsing in neon, splitting my head, trying to remember what the white rabbit said, pulsing in neon. I'm wondering what you're smoking there, Hatter. Just saying, really awesome job.
Thank you, Deborah.
Awesome. And Hatter, do you have any shows that you want to, upcoming shows that you want to talk about?
I think we have Saturday was a holdover about home. Be Deborah, AP Taylor, and myself, Hatter Day Saturday. Other than that, I don't think I'm scheduled for anything.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll ask that for the main shows, but yeah. So the topic is home?
Home, yep.
Home is where the barrel fish are. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Hatter.
You're welcome.
I have one left next, Deb, and before I do that, I think Sweet might be leaving. I'm not really sure what Sweet's doing. So before she does leave, I do want to give you guys, like I always do, a quick rundown. We're not talking about it because these are next month's topics. But I do have next month out, and I always try to, except for the last 2 months, that was terrible. But I always try to put them out before a month before so I could talk about them on this show really quick, get you guys excited. There are three prompts next time. First one is disappearing lakes. A whole lake disappears. But not only does it disappear, it comes back. Why? You got to check it out. Remember, you could write a factual or you could write a spooky story about someone stealing the lake. It's totally up to you. Second one is a really cool video of a guy I found. He's a little quirky, but it's amazing. And my goddaughter loves him and learns a lot from him. So it's like a mashup between Bill Nye the Science Guy and the Magic School Bus, if you've ever seen them. They're really cool videos. But he talks about TRES, or trust, to be a shadow planet. Check it out. It's in the It's really awesome. Check it out. And it's an exoplanet, so obviously. And then the last one is really terrifying to think about. It is called the Terror Bird, and it's basically that. It's 10-foot birds that would kill you. So obviously, there's some really cool things. It is 1.8 million years ago. They're not alive anymore, so don't worry. But they are 10-foot frightening birds. So pick one, pick three, do whatever you want. Write me some poems. Mix them in the mingle. They're really fun videos to watch. And without further ado, Deb, bring on the lilies, the lily feather stars, which I love that name because they do look like that.
Okie dokie. Well, this one actually does have info in it because, like I said, I was almost done this one when I realized you needed barrel fish. So this one's more like you're used to, and it's called Sea Lily Feather Stars, or Filter Fish. Here we go. Floating salt and peppered feathers found, filtering for food from salted turquoise waters. Diving in foaming tides, then rolling in the deep over reefs of fish, urchins, and sea cucumbers. Ebony feathers flow in an underwater ballet, feeding and whirling with jointed branches, and the crimson caresses curl in the waves, pirouetting and then dipping as she dashes. Arms are subdivided by fivefold symmetry, spreading from five feathers to 10 and more. Those pinnacles then spread, fetching plankton, gobbling the goodies from the ocean and floor. Cup-like body holds the branches at the dorsal. All the feathers do not show suction cups to eat. The starfish manipulates particles to her grooves, then munches on the food served from her tube feet. Stalked sea lilies with stems cling to seabed, then the stalks detach to swim as feather stars. With the mouth located on the upper surface by the anus cap, surrounded by feeding arms. Appendages are attached to the oral disc and linked from her cup-like body to the U-shaped gut. Her swimming locomotions mesmerize two eyes. But I did say her mouth is by her butt. And both.
Myself on mute. Myself mid laugh. You know, I when I was saying the little information earlier, because I didn't look close enough, but I didn't realize that you wrote for two. So I talked about this a little bit earlier, and I you know, I didn't say anus. I was just like by the back end, like it's just. I love that you're just so bold and daring, and then you actually made a joke about it. Because I was, you know, I was thinking too. I'm like, I don't know if I would quite like that. it doesn't seem like something I want. This is brilliant. It did bring a lot of information, and I will after my comment. I will if you want to add any, but I'm already in it, so might as well keep going because I had to make it right away. But this was just really, really wonderful. I really love the. You can tell that you did your homework on this one. The floating and more homework than just what was in the video. I could tell that you actually went somewhere and you actually learned something about it elsewhere because there's information and like technical information that I don't even think was in the video. So definitely, I love that you did that. These things are so, I want to put them as my screensaver. I just really, I'm in love with them. The floating salt and peppered, the salt and peppered feathers found in filtering for food from salted turquoise waters. Love the description here. And I love that the little bit, like there's little bits of information. I think information that's technical like this is really, you have to swallow it in bits. And when you break it up with these pictures and these gifts and you kind of like highlight each one, I think it's easier to kind of consume rather than putting it all out there. And it's more like, to me, like a lesson. Like if I wanted to be taught something, I would want it in small increments, easy to chew because it is, this is dense. It's very dense in information, which is great because you've got one poem. You want it dense. You want it, you want to build in there. But this is a fun way to do it, to in a unique way, because I don't see much, I guess, teaching or information going out there. So you get a little stanza, and then you get a really cool picture, and then you've got a little bit more. You can take a little breath. You can take a little breath, and then you can continue down. I'm just going to mute. I'm not going to mute. Hold on. The idea of the ebony feathers flow, again, you're talking about the above, and you're highlighting the fact that they're all different kind of colors, and they're all different wonderful, this ballet, and it's a brilliant description, because it is like a ballet, whirling with jointed branches, and I like that you use branches, because of course I like trees, and then you bring in the technicality of how they detach their feathers, or they detach from their stalks themselves, and then they go out hunting for food and all these things. And you know, I was reading some of the socks, they stay on there too, but it reminds me of that I read that, and then I really loved gobbling goodies. I'm gonna stop here because I'm gonna steal everything as sweet as you yell at me, but I really really love this. And I also love that you put information like where the anus is, how they consume food, how they search for it, and how there could be really a plethora of colors, and I really liked the humor. I wasn't expecting the humor at the end. So when you put it in the little quotations, I just about died. Really, really well done. Thank you. And if you want to say anything else, you can. I just jumped right into the comment. But if you want to add anything, or, you know, you don't have to, but if you want to, now's the time before I go.
No, the only thing I was going to add was that I found it quite funny that when you wrote your descriptions up, you just cleverly left out the part where I thought that was fascinating. Who wants their mouth right next to their butt? And you just totally left it out of your description. Their mouth is on the top, and I'm thinking, oh, look at that. So I had to include it. And I'm just thinking, 6 minutes ago, it's Pick on Deb's Pictures Day. Nice descriptions of the animals, but for some reason, the pictures make me uncomfy. Leave me alone, everybody. If you don't have anything nice to say, go home.
Cool.
Jeez.
So hypnotic pictures. This would hypnotize you. If you just follow one arm on any of those pictures. Well, some are better than the other, but just follow one arm.
They
zoom
are?
In on it. It's just,
some of them do look.
He's got to be at the top of the chain.
Yeah, some of them do look like, I would say, tarantulary. That's not really a word, but we're going to just go with it. And so I could see how some might think they're a little creepy. And then, of course, Tweet brought into the fact that if you're swimming somewhere and it brushes against you, but, I mean, it's beautiful, I'm really enamored at the way that these things move their arms. It's psychedelic. I really could just stare at this all day. But yeah, I can see, but you gotta appreciate things. That I think my favorite one's the black, the one, the, it's really hard to say which one was my favorite. I think it's the one, you know, the last one in the, that has the black backdrop with, it looks like an amber color. There's so many to choose from, but I think
that
was my
favorite.
Yeah,
that one's got more of an elegant flow to it, not so tedious.
That brown one. That palm tree looking one is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. The one above the blue.
He's got to be top of the chain. You know, he's not worried about being hunted. He's just happy to be alive.
They say
in the theory that we have evolved from ancient astronauts, aliens from another planet. It could happen twice. And if it did happen twice, that these are the animals they say would be so different from us that you could call an alien.
Well, I also really love, I mean, I love them all, but I really love, too, the one right below the red one. I just, that black one, it's just the way that it's moving, and it could almost look, you could almost camouflage it, and even though it's different colors because of the white, I don't know. I just absolutely love it. I'm going to go get a comment from Sweet and going to sit here and look at Deb's gift, like just stare at them.
I would too. I would stare at Deb's gift. I thought this was hilarious because nobody wants to eat there. But it is fun. I just thought it was hilarious. It's great. It's another great piece. And I don't know what's up with these people not liking your pictures. They just need to get over it.
I know, right? I'm thinking, what's
yeah,
that?
I mean.
And it even says there,
yeah.
in, you know, like where you go on to somebody's things, it says, be nice or take your ball and go home. And they still put on there, well,
yeah.
pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not really upset by it. I do it for Sky.
I
don't care what the rest of the planet thinks. It's just that two poems in the same night, both for Sky, and they both get attacked for their pictures. It's like, lighten up, people. It's
maybe
supposed to
be fun. Maybe just think the picture looks like a tarantula, you know? Sometimes people can't take that, you know? I don't think it's necessarily.
Yeah, stick up for them, Sky,
so.
Sky. It's all good.
I do. I think you know, I like the gift, and I think you are correct. You're writing, and personally, like I said, I strongly feel in pieces like this, it's set up differently. Everybody writes and creates differently. To have a standard poem that's just all in itself, and then picture in the beginning and picture at the end, yeah, that's cool. But so is this. Like, you have to appreciate people's creativity. What about when people write, you know, like AP writing those picture poems? Those, you have to adjust your eyes to read those. Those aren't just something your eyes do normally. So when people do, can someone help me with the form right now because I'm having a brain
concrete
numb,
shape.
Numb. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so when you're doing a shape or concrete poem, your eyes don't naturally do that. You're adjusting yourself for someone's creativity, and that's what it is. So when you have a piece like this, you need to adjust yourself for this kind of creativity. It's just not at the drop of the dime. You have to be willing to adjust yourself and really think outside the box and be creative and adjust and read it. And I do think that sipping that information, like I said, it really works awesome in this kind of setting. And I think when people see things that are new and that are innovative, in my opinion, they get scared. They're like, oh, my God, I'm scared. This is new. This isn't what I'm used to. So I think – but you know what? What it is, you know, there are so many artists that in their time that people were like, oh, no, this is too crazy. But they're geniuses now. So you got to think of this creativity level and the ingenuity of doing it this way and being creative and not following the rules and say, oh, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to put these little pictures in. I'm going to put this little gist. I'm going to, you know, make Sky memorize these things. So I like
Sky,
it. Sky,
memorize
opinion.
It all.
PP, were you done your comment? I'm sorry. I was very rude and
yeah,
I interrupted.
I'm good.
I wanted to say my piece on that, but I saved you the whole half of the poem at the bottom.
I was good.
All right. And Hatter, what do you think?
I thought it was great. I find myself so involved in these pictures. I tend to go back and have to reread the poem. Yeah, Deborah showing off a little bit.
She's a teacher's pet.
Of
course. Like a candy bar or something.
You're so funny. Oh.
Hatter, read your inbox.
Huh?
I was telling Mr. Hatter to read his inbox.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Deb, if you could tell me what's going on at Team of Voices, I'd appreciate it.
Well, if Hatter would answer his inbox, there's a chance that we're going to do open poetry tomorrow at 9 Eastern. Just so that we don't have two nights in a row off, because my beautiful, beautiful
yes.
suite is gone away with the doggies, so there's not a suite discussions.
I'm going away with the doggies the following week. This week,
oh, I thought you said
Washington,
the
10
and 17.
No, this week I'm going to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be reading at the American Museum of Poetry this week.
Aha. Well, I just marked it the 10th and the 17th. I thought they were both for doggies.
No. This week I'm going to
Washington,
D.C.
But no show, right? Or did I just
no show either way. No, I'm out of town.
Sweet Pea will be showing off in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, so she won't be doing her show because she thinks doing something in Washington, D.C. is important, and I agree. And then next week she'll be with her doggies. But, yeah, so tomorrow we'll do a little open poetry. Thursday we'll take the night off. And I'm going to hold off on saying anything about Tick Mac because Tick Mac Poe might become Tick Mac Banjo, and he's making some adjustments.
Banjo.
We will stay tuned because now, and he's also going to change. You're not going to know whether there's just one by Banjo and four by AP, or if every poem in the place is by Banjo. So he's going to throw in new nuances.
He's gonna,
He's going to eliminate the power of process of elimination. So anyway, stay tuned for more information on that. And then as Heather said earlier, and I was so proud that he remembered his topic, Saturday night at 11 with me, him, and AP for Home.
Home.
Like Motley Crue.
Home. Yeah. And then open tomorrow.
Yes, open tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern with me and Jay Hatta. So bring something that you've been dying to share on the air and come and see us. Put up a topic short.
I will be there. Yes, guys.
I got lots of poems for Deb so that I've been writing for her. I can read live. I had to send a SoundCloud in for one of them. Just so you guys know, I am on this Saturday, too, at a poetic play, and we're going to go down, we're still journeying down Star Wars, so there's lots of characters, highlights, go check it out, Star Wars it up. And don't forget, this month is the Storyboard Special Edition, Steampunk Edition. I gave out some prompts, like, back in, like, October last year. So you can finally get those done.
Wowza. All right, well, I'm going to hang up. Love and respect you guys. And stop by tomorrow for open poetry if you can. Love and
be there.
Thank you.
I'm shortly behind you, fading away.
Sweet, can you check your inbox?
I said yes, I would.
Yes, you would what?
Read that, if you'd like.
Oh, okay. All right, so, Hatter, this is the name of the game. Since we have 20 minutes left, and we've gotten through all the poems, this is random stuff, so I'm totally cool with the callers that are online to bring me something off-topic if we still have time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Sweet Pea read something, and it can be completely off-topic. And then I want you to find something for me, too, so that you could read one. So, Sweet, you find me a poem for me to read. Well, for you to read.
Okay. Okay. I can do that. But I will read what you're giving me first, right?
No, I'm not. No, you get to pick one for me. You just read whatever. Whatever you want.
Oh. Oh, I thought you had something for me to read. Okay.
Oh, no, you pick whatever you want out of your poem. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I see where you might have missed most of that. Yeah.
I can do that.
So.
All right, I got one right away. I wrote one again today.
Okay, good.
God for good. All right, so I'm going to throw that on the board. Real quick here. Da, 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 da. If I put it on the right board. All right, here we go. It's called Me Minus Him. Abuse brain matters scattered across the barren plains of a hat-eaten skeleton, sucking on chunks of sarcasm between cheeks and gums, spitting bitter slurs at the roots of the spoken word, dismissed by ignorance of independence, wrapped in illusions of grandeur, sociopath bends light to reflect mirrors of fandom. Embers to cold coal, diamonds turn to dust, blessed by Heavenly Father's verse. Revisions, reverse vows, now cursed. Salutations, slaughter, and aloha smiles. Pretenders hold hands for public display. Text to playmates in nefarious head games. Stiff and cold, a bottle of pills she held. Imitation teardrops for icicle eyes. As tangerine skies faded to the dark. End poem.
You're breaking my heart here. This was wonderful. I think there's a lot of stuff going on here. I think there's an entire storyline with layers and layers and layers. And for the depth of the layers that they were going here, it's very brief. Abused brain matter scattered across barren plains and half-eaten skeletons. Right there, you bring in the reader at a very sadly common situation. And even if the reader has no, I guess I would say, experience with such things, the way that you describe it, the way that you bring it in, it's capturing. It's very capturing. And it's very sobering as well to the reader to kind of listen to that. And we think of emotional abuse when you say brain matter scatter. That's what I think about. And you know, there's I think that emotional abuse is just as damaging and lingers. And I think I've said this before, but lingers far beyond it takes for bruises to heal. That emotional damage that comes along with not only physical abuse but emotional abuse is lasts longer. And it doesn't always have to be striking. You know, that those kind of unhealthy relationships, that kind of abuse can happen without even people realizing it. And it's kind of come into fluctuate into systems. And then all of a sudden, these systems become patterns, and these patterns become routines. And before you know it, it just becomes the new normal. And it isn't until sometimes you step away from that unhealthy, toxic relationship that you realize, oh, hey, this was not okay. The sucking on the chunks, this is going to be one I take apart. So I hope you don't mind, but I really loved.
No, not at all.
I think it really deserves to be highlighted, but the sucking and the chunks of the sarcasm, it makes me, things that are done under the breath, those passive aggressive remarks and those little things, like, you know, if someone's saying, instead of saying good things, healthy things, there are all those very vicious, mean things that are under the slight of an eye or under just rude and comments that are aimed to hurt and say, oh, I was just being sarcastic. Well, no, it really does a lot of damage. Of course, you go into that a little further with the roots of spoken word, which I think is true. Words have meaning and words go deep. And those sly remarks can embed themselves very deeply. And then, of course, dismissed by ignorance of independence, wrapped in illusion of grandeur. And you say by psychopath bends light to reflect mirrors of fandom. I loved this too. This part goes into a little bit more abstract, but you still grasp the idea and the understanding of what's happening in the story. And then you go down to where, the cold diamonds, and of course, cold crushes into diamonds. So you use the metaphor beautifully, but then you say that it turns to dust. So the idea of diamonds turning to dust, and it's supposed to be the strongest stone, but turned to dust. I mean, that says a lot in there too. I really loved also down right here, the pretenders hold hands in public display, because I think a lot of relationships kind of put on that face, put on those smiles, and say, oh, yeah, we're fine, and pretend to be good. But behind the doors, behind those curtains, there's a lot more going on in there that no one seems to know. And that's how this type of unhealthy relationship, you know, blooms, because they're secluded, it's secluded. And not that everybody should, you know, everybody's going to be taking anybody, oh, you should get out of this, you should do that. But especially if it's hidden, it becomes more secluded, and the people that are involved become more secluded as well. And everybody thinks they're fine, and they're not. And that also happens quite often. I thought this was a brilliant piece, and I think it spoke volumes about unhealthy relationships and how they can really well done. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to describe it. This is a Sweet Does This Thing. It's a this is a word game, and you hit the right stanza. Sucking on chunks of the sarcasm between cheeks and gums, spitting bitter slurs at the roots of the spoken word. I got to ask you, Sweet. Sometimes when you're writing like this and you're bouncing metaphors off each other, are you amazed sometimes that at the end of it all that they still connect in some manner? Because I do sometimes. I can't believe they hung on together.
I do. I'm like, well, who the hell wrote that? who is the person in my brain that figured that out? I do sometimes, because I'm like, damn, who wrote that? Because I sometimes you just sit there and you just write and it just comes out. And then, yeah, like, you'll go back and you're like, that one came out so good. And then there are times I'm writing like I'm just spewing trash. And you know you're stealing trash, and you go back and you try to fix it, and you just throw things away. But, like, this one I wrote today, and it was just, like, it just was there. And I get very amazed at things like that.
Yeah, because I can tell it reminded me of sometimes when I do the same, the final edit. You're trying to get rid of the bad words, get more colorful, descriptive words. And at the end of all, you've changed so much. When you read it, to hear other people comment, you go, oh, God, it did connect. It did leave it there.
Right. Well, this one, I didn't edit anything.
This?
Yeah, this one just came out, and I really, there were a few things I tweaked, but this one was just came out of my brain. And these are the ones that I just go, whoa, wow, that was pretty cool.
I love your brain. I love to watch you create. You kick.
I love that we got that and you were able to read it. I love when we can do a couple extra at the end. So that's really cool. And then you guys can pick out some stuff. Because when you write something, you're like, oh, I really like this. You want to share it. You want, you know, it's in our nature to say, oh, I just wrote this. I want to share it. Oh, that's cool. Thank you.
Well, you need to hear it again tomorrow, Hatter, because there'll be open poetry. And I don't usually hear the weird ones. So you'll get to hear this one.
Cool. We should sit and do an online collab and see how it goes.
All right, you can do that.
Something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went in and found something I don't even remember anything about it. It was tucked away in a corner.
I did a collab with. I'm ready. All right, guys. What are we gonna write about? Oh, read.
I'm getting there. Or just read. My turn.
Yeah.
Did you put it up, or I need to put it up? I can put it up, I guess.
You put it up. Yep.
Okay. There it is. Come on. Called Laid Down the Crumb. I laid down the crumbs. And it goes like this. I have no idea where this is going either. So, I wish to find a place to be where no hatred or greed can follow me. Help me, please. I am lost where I stand. I can no longer see who the hell I am. The loyalty, the love, I'm lost in my thoughts. What I thought was safe is now totally lost. Is there a place that you know that that you think I can be? Is there someone that can show and tell me, please, why did you offer me friendship and no strings and no limits, no predetermined promises or conditional gimmicks? I laid down the crumbs and I followed them back. They led me nowhere. I don't know where I'm at. Oh. I thought I had an angry poet.
It's a little bit angry, but sometimes we gotta get out of our anger, you know. Especially in our writing, we should be able to be free and expressive to that. I thought this was brilliant. You know, I laid down the crumbs, and that reminds me of I laid down the crumbs for you to follow me, but instead you left me. And that's what the title reminds me of, the reflection of the poem. Whether that's what your intent was. You know, that's just my perception. I'm not sure if that was your intent, but that's what it reminded me of you saying to somebody, I gave you the crumbs to support me, and yet you can't. You know, is there a place that you know you think we can be? Is there someone that can show you to tell me to plead, that pleading, that begging, that needing? And, of course, why did you offer me friendship with no strings and no limits? And that reminds me of misleading information, you know, saying, okay, this is this, and then kind of recapturing it back in the end. And of course that would leave one bitter, where at the end, you know, you're like, you know, I'm not only bitter, but confused, because, you know, your expectation is one thing and yet you're receiving another. And no one likes to be in that crossroads of, I don't know what you want from me, I don't know what you want from me. My perception of what was happening was quite different than your perception, and I felt that I was misled and very confused, and I thought that you portrayed that very well.
Yeah, it could be, I thought you knew what friends with benefits meant.
And right. Sweepy?
I agree. I think, you know, who are you and what am I to you? Is, you know, do you know, are you in solid ground kind of thing? And you never do know. But maybe you know.
Too late, but it's too late.
Yeah, and should it ever be too late? I don't think it should.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Somebody always gets hurt, don't they?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to have, actually. Yeah. Excellent poem, Hatter.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Hatter.
Thank you, sweet.
All right, we got 7 minutes left. I think I found you something. I'm a little nervous about reading it live. Do you guys want to hear one more poem before we leave?
Absolutely.
All right.
Am I supposed to find something from your vault?
Yeah, I brought something. I brought one for me. I gave Deb a SoundCloud with this, and I usually don't, because I was worried. It's for her contest, and I was like, there are a lot of words in here that people might not be used to. So I gave a little SoundCloud, but I'm going to read it live. But this is called Aurelia Europe of the Golden City of Lorlin. When Caliandra the Antoche, with her almondine garnet linear leaf crown, mingled a merry tune with Empecia and Fethusia and the green and chestnut gardens of the golden city of Lorelin. There sounded a medley of Libyan lotus winds, silver shadows that leapt from Kahara silk, and high trumpet notes of the selpink that seemed to bloom in a faint snow of gypsophila along the steps of its gown, down the great halls made of sapphire sand and amber gems from the Isle of Canuck. Aurelia Europe strode to me, the dragon queen of old, Valinir, the seer of light. And then I saw that lots of author's notes for you to read if you want to later. There you go.
Well, isn't that beautiful? As usual. Go ahead, Hatter. You want to comment? Go for it.
I'm just now getting there. For some reason, I kept pulling my smartphone was being stupid. So let me finish reading real quick.
Okay. Well, it's just gorgeous. I love the sounds and I love the way you describe sound. I can't say all the names because they're like amazingly unique and 15 letters in every name, so I'm out. But I love sapphire sands, amber gems, the dragon queen of old, the seer of light, I'm sorry, the green and chestnut gardens, the golden city of Laurelin. I mean, it just sounds like a beautiful place to be. You always make things so fantastical, almost fantasical. The high trumpet notes of the Selphinix, you know, I have no idea what that is, but it sounds beautiful. It's a place you want to go, a place you want to be. I don't know how you do it, but you definitely do.
I think she loves naming their cities and their characters way too much. Not way too much.
Well, no, these are real things. These are real things. The Aurelia.
Those are real. You know what? Every time I say that, you sit me back down. I know, but there was one time that I went the other way, and you said, "Oh no, I made it up." What?
One day. I really do love. And the thing is that I do like to make up names, so I do, and there are some. The Aurelia is a real name, and it means golden, and Urals is a royal blood. So those are like English and Latin derivative, like their names mean that. And Laurelin also, Song of Gold. And Canuck is an actual name too, like a name. And it means power and design.
Now, when you create a city, a name of a town or city or kingdom or whatever, do you visualize the sign going down the road, welcome to?
No, if I have a character's name and I'm not going to make up the character's name, I usually research baby names, and then I'm like, what names mean gold? And then I pick between the two. And that's what I did for those first three. And then the Anthusia is a flower nymph. So that isn't the name. That is an actual Greek flower nymph. And the Lampetia and Phethusia is those are also nymphs. So those are pulled from Greek mythology. The only
thing, in good company.
The Valinir, I thought I made up because I was thinking of Valor, and I'm like, I want to change that, Valinir. And that one I created from my own mind. And then I was like, I wonder if I heard that somewhere, and I just don't remember. So I Googled it to see what it was from. And then it was from the Forgotten Realms D&D, so I'm like, maybe I heard it, and then I just stuck with it subconsciously. So, but
keep
I'm
that,
sorry.
Keep
that
one in your pocket for a while.
Huh? What?
You've been keeping that one in your pocket for a while, huh?
Yeah, it might have been something that I just heard and that subconsciously I knew, but
yeah.
I thought I was that one was one that I didn't look up first. I thought of how I could change a Valor, and then Valinir came, and then I was like, I wonder if I heard this somewhere, because sometimes that does happen. But
you know, I think some writers don't understand that they have that option. That they have that ability, that creative ability, if they choose to use it. You use that tool very well, and you're in great company. William Shakespeare created a name that sticks and is very popular to this day. Do you know what that name is? It's a female name. He just made it up in one of his...
Pamela. I know. It was Linda, Stephanie, something like that. Stephanie, Linda. Oh, God, what is the name? Susan. Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah, he wrote it, and it's stuck and became...
He wrote
became
it in a play, yes. It's very popular today, too.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
well,
God dang
think,
it.
I'll give you a hint. Play Misty for me.
Melinda.
Play what?
No.
Play Misty for me. Who's the actress?
Yeah. I can't remember the name. I don't even know who that is.
The name is Jessica.
Jessica.
Huh. Just kind of made it up.
I just know that.
That's an interesting stuff.
He just made it up.
And it's the best.
You know, back then there was like 10,000 words less. We have our vocabulary is extraordinarily huge compared to what the people talked with. It's amazing to think about.
And you know who helped
just
write some of the Oxford English Dictionary? Tolkien. Guy with Lord of the Rings. But I do got to cut you guys because we're off air. I want to thank Kay, Stephen, Sweet, Allie, Deb, Hatter for all calling, Tila for all calling, for all writing, for submitting, for doing some homework. I appreciate you all. I appreciate those of you guys that hung out with me the whole time and or even for most of the time into the end. I appreciate it and brought me some extra poetry that I wasn't expecting. And a little bit about our closing song. It's Death Cab for Cutie. It's an American rock band formed in Washington in 1997. A band is composed of Ben Gimbart. Sorry, I have to hiccup. Vocals, guitars, piano, Nick Hammer, bass, Dave Jepper, guitar, keyboards, vocals, Zach Ray, keyboards, guitar, and Jason McGregor on drums. It was originally a solo project by Gibbard, who expanded the project into a complete group upon getting a record deal. They released their debut album, Something About Airplanes, in 1998. The band's fourth album, 2003's Transit. Sure, I don't even know. I'm reading. Their fourth album broke into a mainstream both critically and commercially. His songs were featured in various TV series and films. So we are going to listen to I Will Follow You Into the Dark, a little slow, put us to sleep, and get us relaxed a little bit before bedtime. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
You got to be careful, Miss.
Yeah,
Sweet and myself on the same show. We'll tend to take it over, right, Sweet?
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
sorry.
I love listening to you guys. No.
And
honestly, I would have let you guys just go if we weren't out of time because I don't mind that at all. I love listening to you. But I don't want to go too over. Thank you.
All right. Bye, honey.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. Stay at school.
Yeah, honey. Bye. You too. Okay. Bye.
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. I'll follow you into the dark, no blinding lights or tunnels to gates of white, just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy sign. If there is no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, as vicious as Roman rule, I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black, and I held my tongue as she told me, son, fear is the heart of love, so I never went back. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the notes on their vacancy sign. If there is no one beside you when you're so far, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary, and the soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now. There's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy sign. If there is no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. And I'll follow you into the dark.